Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of our Coffee with Innovate Finance podcast. I'm Janine Hurt, CEO of Innovate Finance, and I have a fantastic guest with me this morning, Rod Lockhart, CEO of LendInvest. Now, as most of you will already know, LendInvest is the UK's leading technology-driven platform for mortgages. LendInvest offers short-term buy-to-let and homeowner mortgages. Its proprietary technology and user experience are designed to make it simpler for both borrowers and investors to access property finance. LendInvest has over £5 billion of short-term development and buy-to-let mortgages. Its funders and investors include global institutions such as JP Morgan, Lloyds Bank, HSBC, Citigroup, and NAB. And in 2019, it was the first fintech to securitize a portfolio of buy-to-let mortgages. So Rod, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Janine, for having me.
So let's kick off, and I would love to just hear a little bit more about your background and what led you to LendInvest.
So, I've been working at LendInvest for 8 years now, so it's been a big part of my career. I joined LendInvest originally to run the fund management and capital markets side of the business, so raising capital for our platform. And then took over as CEO over 3 years ago now, so January 2020, so just before COVID hit, then had a real baptism of fire managing the business through COVID, and then we listed in 2021. So it's been an incredible journey. Before LendInvest, I worked in real estate. So I worked for a company called CBRE, which is a large real estate advisory company. And then before 2008, I worked for them in raising capital for property funds. And then after 2008, on restructuring property funds. But I got really passionate about who was going to replace banks in providing finance to the property space. And so quite quickly after the financial crisis, I started looking out for investors who wanted to invest in to provide real estate loans. And ultimately, that's how I ended up at LendInvest.
So it's a perfect journey with perfect experience. Tell us a bit, Rod, about LendInvest's vision and mission. So what are the problems that you are really trying to solve?
Yeah, so if you've tried to get a mortgage recently, you'll probably appreciate some of the pains and challenges in that process, from paper-based forms to getting documents certified, to downloading bank statements, trying to piece all your income together. It's a really painful process traditionally. And at LendInvest, our mission is to make the process of getting a mortgage simpler. We're doing that using digitizing the process using technology.
So let's dive into how you're doing that. And how does the LendInvest platform work? How does what you do specifically differentiate from others as well?
So the first differential on our platform is that we're a two-sided platform. So on one side of our platform, we have investors investing into property loans. And on the other side of our platform, we have brokers and borrowers taking property loans and mortgages from us. So it's a two-sided platform, quite different to, a bank model. The key differentiators, particularly on the lending side, are around the digitization of the process itself. So, for example, we will use open banking during the mortgage process, and through open banking, we can verify income, accessing bank accounts, piecing together income from lots of different bank accounts, in order to understand the income position of our borrowers. Now, the traditional way a lender would do that is with static PDFs of bank statements, if you've got the date wrong on a piece of on one of those statements, that goes all the way back through the chain of broker to borrower, back to lender. It's a process full of friction, and through open banking, we can reduce that friction. So that's one of the ways. Another way is it's KYC, AML, anyone involved with fintech will know that that's pretty easy nowadays. You can integrate KYC, AML processes and send people links on their mobile phones and allow an automated KYC process. Lots of the traditional lenders are still relying on documents being certified by solicitors in the traditional way. Again, a huge friction in that process. Another way we're introducing machine learning AI into the lending process so we can better understand the loans that we're writing and iterate our credit models. And basically all the way through the process, we're automating as many processes as we can. Ultimately, with the types of lending that we do, be it quite specialist in specialist types of homeowner mortgages, specialist buy-to-let lending, development and bridging lending, they are processes that ultimately do need a human involved. So there is a human in our processes, but we're automating all the bits around them to allow them to make the most informed decisions they can.
Amazing, Ron. And we've been a longtime fan here at Innovate Finance of LendInvest. We've really closely watched your journey over the years, and you've had an inspiring, I would say, scaling journey. In your perspective, what have been some of the key challenges that you've faced, and maybe both on an internal basis in terms of hiring, but also externally with regards to customer acquisition?
Yeah, so there's tons of challenges all the way through business. I think probably the starting point is where I'm really ambitious business, and we've had this sort of big mission of simplifying a mortgage process in this huge mortgage market. It's a huge market, and so we've been really ambitious. And in being ambitious, you can get dragged in a million different directions. So some of the challenges in the past have been around how do we stay focused? How do we do things in an order that ultimately gets us to where we want to end up, but we're not trying to do everything at the same time. And I think that's been some of the challenge through our past is making sure we're prioritizing and we have a clear roadmap to ending up where we want to end up. So you know, like most businesses, we've certainly gone down the wrong rabbit holes in the past, and I think making sure you stay focused, come back to a clear roadmap, has been really key, really.
And in July 2021, you IPO'd on the London Stock Exchange, and it was, of course, during the COVID pandemic as well. So, what was it that made you take the decision both to IPO and to do it during a pandemic?
Well, the business was born in a crisis, so it felt like the natural thing to do to list it in the next big one. But in all seriousness, it has long been an ambition of our founders, Christian and Ian, to go through and list a company. So it was something that, as entrepreneurs, they were passionate about. But I think beyond that, from a business perspective, we have some quite clear business objectives that we wanted to deal with through an IPO. One of them was raising capital, so raising money to invest. The other was lifting our profile and lifting the transparency around the organization as well. And particularly where we thought that would benefit us was our ability to attract lending capital to the platform. And I think that has been the case. You know, as a listed company, we are a better proposition. We're a better counterparty for some of the large institutions and banks that choose to lend through our platform. So I think that has helped. The other area we thought IPO would help us is just generally profile raising overall. And the main reason we're raising capital into the IPO was to launch into a homeowner mortgage proposition, residential mortgage proposition. And just lifting profile, we thought would be really helpful in attracting those mortgage customers to our platform in the long run. So they're sort of the reasons why we decided to do it. I think why then was we saw a window of opportunity. Our business had done really well through the COVID period. Like lots of digital businesses, we weren't interrupted. You know, we took our laptops home and carried on. And because of that uninterruption, because of the performance of the business through COVID, we had a window of opportunity to list the company then.
Right. And have things changed at LendInvest after the IPO? I mean, are there any opportunities or any challenges that you can share with us?
Yes, the business does change through. There's no question that when you go through an IPO and you become a public company, that things change. It's harder to be as transparent with the people in your business as you were before. You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on as a company is being really open and transparent, and it's a lot harder to do that as a public company. So I think that's a cultural thing that we've had to deal with. There is more governance and rigor and structure than we had as a private company. So there is an overlay there that it takes some time to get used to. So I think we have evolved. At the same time, as I said, we raised capital into the IPO to launch a new product. The business is also evolving as it's making that investment and opening up other product areas as well.
So let's then build on this future look ahead. And we know that 2023 is going to be, I would say, an interesting year, especially with the housing market predicted to be facing a potential slump. How is this year looking for you in terms of growth? And cautiously, what are you looking out for as well?
So I think the reality is, you know, last 6 months or more have been sort of more challenging market, really. And we have slowed our growth down coming into this year. So towards the middle of last year, we took the view, through the summer and then into the mini budget period, we took the view that we did need to be more cautious than otherwise we would have been, given the sort of macro market outlook at that point. So we slowed down some of our growth, got a bit more conservative in some of the areas of lending that we were doing. But despite that slowdown, we're still, you know, we're a high growth company, and slowing down growth isn't, it still means we're intending to grow. We're just not quite at the same rate that we might have done if it had not been for a harder market backdrop. But I think that the key thing that we're really looking forward to is our homeowner residential mortgage proposition coming to life during the course of this year. And that's an area where we will get growth because we're starting with a zero. So we will have mortgage, residential mortgage customers coming to the platform over the course of this year, and that product will start to come to life, which is really exciting.
Great, Rod. And I know you've contributed a lot to our FinTech as a Force for Good program as well. I'd love to hear a bit more about how LendInvest is addressing some of the challenges that we see, particularly around the cost of living crisis, but also looking at the ESG agenda, the environmental impact as well.
Yeah, so I think in terms of, I'll pick up the ESG and environmental first and come back to the cost of living crisis. I think one of the areas that we've been quite passionate about, I suppose, for a number of years now has been the climate and how we can use our lending to have a more positive impact. And we actually launched in one of the first lenders to launch green mortgages a number of years ago now. That's sort of a product range that we continue to iterate. And we seek to incentivize borrowers who are improving the environmental efficiency of their buildings. So if borrowers are improving, upgrading environmental efficiency, they'll benefit from the best rates and products from us. And that's something we're passionate about and will continue to iterate products and develop. We recently, along the same lines, recently secured funding from HSBC, supported by the British Business Bank, to lend money to small, medium-sized property developers. And that sort of clearly has a social angle, bringing forward new, affordably priced housing to the UK, clearly in a market where there is a huge undersupply of every type of housing. So there's a social angle, but there's also environmental angle there as well. So we set ourselves quite high environmental standards about the environmental impact of the buildings that are being developed, and to make sure that we're deploying that capital in a way that is as beneficial as it can be, really. So that's how we sort of think about things on the environmental side. In terms of the cost of living crisis, when we were developing our homeowner residential mortgage proposition, we weren't necessarily thinking about the cost of living crisis, but we were thinking about customers who weren't as well served by high street lenders. And you know, that's really the part of the market that we're looking to better serve customers. And whilst, you know, if you are self-employed or you have multiple sources of income, you can get a mortgage today. You know, there are places to go and get a mortgage, but it's still a traditional process. It's one that's going to involve a ton of paperwork. And really what we're trying to do is serve these customers, but serve them in a digital way as well. So, and I think the cost of living crisis clearly is going to throw up and is throwing up a load more of these customers that aren't going to be as well served by street banks and building societies as perhaps they should be. And hopefully they'll find products and service with LendInvest that they really like.
And it's, I love hearing that, because it's such an opportunity for us as the fintech ecosystem to support some of these individuals facing those difficult times. So let's take a step back and look on a broader basis at the fintech industry as a whole. Looking ahead at 2023, what do you think the challenges and also the opportunities will be for the broader industry?
Yeah, so I think, as we sort of pointed out earlier, there's clearly we're not in a great macro market environment. And I think that's across all the board from fintech, affects all fintechs. And I think it affects all fintechs because, you know, fintechs are making investments, you know, building technology is making investment. And to make investment, you need to be funded to make investment. Now, funding in the current market, raising equity capital is a lot harder. And at the same time, investors that are making investment are expecting a return on their investment sooner. So that means perhaps the rate of investment in technologies is going to be slowed. And so I think that the key challenge we've got here is, you know, how are these fintechs that are doing all these great things and have these incredible pipelines of products to develop and technology to build going to deliver that when there's less equity capital coming in and that equity capital expects a return sooner? So I think, you know, that's going to be, all of us are going to have to iterate our models. There is going to be a slowing down of development, and companies are going to have to, you know, show, I guess, profitability sooner. In some ways that's a shame, because it's going to take us all a little bit longer to get through our build roadmaps than otherwise it would have done.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Ron. So as a fintech CEO, if there was one piece of advice you would give to a fintech founder right now, what would it be?
That's a great question. I think, as it goes back to a point we made, we're a business born out of difficult times in 2008. And I think, you know, clearly we're in more challenging times today. And I actually think that's a great time for people to be thinking about launching and scaling and iterating their business models. So, you know, whilst things feel a lot harder today, businesses born out of the difficulties today will be the superstars of tomorrow, really.
Well, Rod, I think that is an excellent note to end on as well. So thank you so much, Rod, for joining us today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our Coffee with Innovate Finance podcast. Please stay tuned for our future podcast and make sure you visit us at www.innovatefinance.com. Thanks so much, everyone.